You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Katie Klein, and this is Field Talk, a podcast in which we explore the work of authors whose studies have been published in three of the Society's journals, Ecology, Ecological Applications, and Ecological Monographs. Today I'm speaking with Allison Brody, a professor in the biology department at the University of Vermont, whose article was published in the February issue of Ecology. Allison went to the savannas of East Africa to study the effects of termites and vertebrate herbivores, such as zebras and gazelles, on the fruiting success of acacia trees. After surveying the nutritive effects of termite mounds versus animal fertilizer, she and her colleagues discovered termites coupled with a particular species of ant produced the greatest chances of fruiting success. Thanks for being here, Allison.
Thanks for inviting me. Glad to be here.
So what inspired you to focus on the acacia plant in Africa as a subject for fruiting success?
So I originally went to Kenya on my first sabbatical with an idea about studying how large vertebrate herbivores affect community patterns of invertebrates using the Kenya long-term exposure experiments to ask that question. But once I got there and saw the study system, I realized that that was a huge question and would take years to disentangle. So I was looking around for another project, and a close friend and colleague, Todd Palmer, had been working in the system for a number of years and already had some preliminary data on the importance of termite mounds to soils and tree growth and to ant communities. And so what Todd had found was that acacia trees growing close to termite mounds experienced higher growth rates than those growing further away from mounds, and that trees growing close to mounds were more likely to harbor a symbiotic ant that doesn't do a very good job at protecting its trees from herbivores. To make this clear to folks who've not seen these mounds or pictures of these mounds, I should say at the outset that termite that we're studying builds mounds that are completely underground and fully vegetated. So these aren't the bare columnar mounds that people usually think of when thinking about termites. And we had preliminary data showing the mounds affect the acacia growth rates, but whether or not that matters really has to be measured in terms of reproductive success.
Wow. So that's how it all got started.
It's very interesting. Yeah, I envisioned exactly like you described it.
Yeah, so. A bare columnar structure that's devoid of vegetation, and that's not what these mounds are.
So can you explain the basics of this complex symbiotic relationship between acacia and termites, ants, and vertebrate herbivores?
So virtually all Acacia drepanolobium are inhabited in this area by one of four species of ant. So a single tree harbors a single ant species. And the trees provide the ants with homes in the form of swollen thorns. They also provide them with food in the form of extra floral nectar that's produced outside the flower. And in turn, the ants defend the trees from both invertebrate and vertebrate herbivores, or at least that's kind of the conventional wisdom. They do, the different ant species are better or poorer defenders of their host tree, but that's sort of a sidelight. Okay, so now let's add in termites. So it turns out that these acacia trees are not uniformly distributed across the landscape. In particular, there's areas that are treeless, and these are usually termite mounds that I just described, or sometimes bigger areas that we call glades that used to be sites where the Maasai herders corralled their cattle. They're called boma sites. The termite mounds, as I alluded to before, are quite big. They can be 5 to 20 meters in diameter. And it turns out that the identity of the ant inhabitant of the tree is not random with respect to mounds. So trees growing adjacent to termite mounds are more likely to be inhabited by the ant that we found in this study to be important to tree fruiting success, Chromatogaster shastidii. The ant happens to be a poor defender of their trees from vertebrate and invertebrate herbivores. The vertebrates come into the picture in two ways. First, they prefer to graze on the grasses growing on termite mounds. As I said, these mounds are fully vegetated. And as they do so, they input nutrients in the soil in terms of dung and urine deposition. So we wanted to tease apart the effects of termites and vertebrate herbivores on tree fruiting success, recognizing that termites are enhancing, enriching soils in properties important to plants, namely increasing nitrogen availability and phosphorus availability, and also increasing the porosity of soils, so making them more porous, but also recognizing that these vertebrate herbivores are inputting nutrients in terms of dung and urine deposition as they're grazing on the mounds, and these might be very important to the trees as well.
So for all of these factors, which did you find played the biggest role in the production of the fruit?
What we found was proximity to termite mound was the most important driver in predicting the success of these trees in terms of reproduction. So finding that pattern, we took advantage of CLE, the Kenya Long-Term Exposure Experiment, to say, okay, let's tease apart the effects of termites versus the effects of vertebrate herbivores. And in doing so, we found that it was indeed the termites that were more important than the vertebrate herbivores. So what we did is take advantage of areas that since 1995 had excluded large vertebrate herbivores. So we hypothesized that if the vertebrate herbivores were important, where they were absent, trees would have lower reproductive success. Again, looking at trees growing adjacent to termites. Mounds. So we held that variable constant, saying, okay, well, all trees we'll examine will be growing close to termite mounds, but if we exclude or allow vertebrate herbivores based on these treatments established 7 years prior to these data, we would expect if the vertebrates were important, those trees would have higher success, and when where the vertebrate herbivores were absent, those trees would have lower success. And we found that no significant difference whether herbivores were present or absent.
Are the effects of termites on soil quality and character widely known?
So termites have been known to have dramatic impacts on chemical and physical properties of soils in virtually all continents. But what's less well known is how their effects scale up to plant and animal communities. We have data that is also soon to be published in Ecology showing that where trees are growing next to termite mounds, they're fixing less atmospheric nitrogen with their bacterial symbionts in their roots and rather taking it up out of the soil. So this helps explain why reproduction is higher close to termite mounds. They're probably recouping the energy of not undertaking nitrogen fixation and shunting that energy or those resources into reproduction.
You traveled to the Laikipia Plateau in north central Kenya to conduct your research. Is the soil in this region of particular importance to the acacia?
To Acacia drepanolobium, yes, it is. So Acacia drepanolobium is widespread across Kenya, but it's the monodominant woody plant across what we call black cotton or verdisol soils in the Laikipia Plateau. So these soils are heavy in clay and shrink and swell seasonally, creating deep cracks when they dry out, and they create really slimy and impassable roads when wet.
Yeah.
Get into the field after it starts raining.
And how do termites enhance this?
So within these areas, termites create patches of fertility or nutrient hotspots through their mound-building activity and fungus farming activities. So essentially what they're doing are recycling dead plant material and turning it into nutrients that are then available to soil microbes and living plants.
And how did you measure the effects of termite mounds versus dung?
So the Kenya Long-Term Exposure Experiment is a set of large electrified fences that exclude various sizes of vertebrate herbivores. So what we did is take advantage of these areas where the large herbivores had been excluded, where nothing, what are called the zero plots, where nothing is allowed, to areas where the vertebrates like gazelles and zebra, anything smaller than a buffalo or an elephant or giraffe, is allowed to graze. And those comparisons allowed us to tease apart whether the nutritive effects of termites were more or less important than the nutritive effects of vertebrate herbivores.
How long did it take you to gather the data you needed for the study?
Well, it took us several months to gather the fruiting data, so both looking outside the exposures and then going within the exposures and censusing hundreds of trees around and further away from termite mounds. But the dung patterns we gathered over many more years than that and had just, you know, built up a large data set on where dung is deposited across the landscape. And the exposures had been in place since 1995. So in essence, they provided data of our post-initiation of the treatments.
What is the most exciting discovery you've made studying the system over the past 7 years?
The discovery that I mentioned a few minutes ago, that termite mounds exert strong effects on nitrogen fixation in acacia, is very cool, I think. Yeah, I mean, the idea that these trees, along with their, you know, bacterial symbionts growing close to mounds, are fixing less nitrogen than trees growing further away. And therefore, the extension of that, that termites are having profound effects on ecosystem processes, namely where plants are deriving nitrogen from, is really cool.
Do you have any plans for future research, and what does the future hold?
Another big question is how and whether cattle grazing differs from native ungulate herbivores. So cattle ranching has become big business and popular in the area and in Eastern African savannas in general. And so if we take as our underlying observation that termite mounds provide heterogeneous habitat that supports greater diversity of plants and invertebrates, we'd like to know if the effects of cattle are similar to the effects of native vertebrate herbivores, and then extend that to trying to discover cattle grazing practices that would sustain that biological diversity.
So what is it like being in Kenya? How has that been?
As I said, it's an amazing place to work. I mean, to drive to work across these open areas, the savanna habitat is basically an open area, and to see elephants and giraffe and zebra and ostrich and amazing bird life as you're going to work. I mean, it's astonishing. You know, I have to pinch myself and say, I can't believe I work here, you know, and is this a dream? Logistically, it can be difficult. And probably the most difficult thing for me to adjust to is I've done all of my research up to this point in Colorado at 9,600 feet at a field station called the Rocky Mountain Biological Lab. And it's very seasonal. When I'm not there, it doesn't matter because nothing's happening anyway. The place is under snow. So during the summer when I've, you know, conducted most of my research, that's the field season. Whereas in East Africa, it's not an aseasonal environment, but there are things happening year-round. And so it's much more difficult to really organize your field schedule around both what's going on in the field as well as maintaining an academic position, you know, here at the University of Vermont.
Well, thanks for speaking with me today, Allison.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
That was Allison Brody joining us from Vermont to discuss her research on the effects of termites and vertebrate herbivores on the fruiting success of acacia trees. This is Katie Klein, and this has been Field Talk.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.